Please join me in prayer first. Heavenly Father, you've given us ears to hear and eyes to see through the Holy Spirit, through your grace. And we pray now that your grace would help us to let go of all prejudice and pride, of all fear and humiliation, of every negative emotion and every negative thought that would keep us from receiving your word. Give us insight. And please bless Pastor Nick. Help him to listen carefully to your voice and hear you and be strengthened and helped by you in a mighty way as he preaches. We thank you for your word and we attend it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Continuing at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
If I had known that the children's sermon was going to have lemonade, I would have been first in line. I love lemonade and honey. But I trust as we unfold the Word of God this morning that we would be children. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God." And so, Lord, I pray that we would be as children now. Open to what you want to say by your Spirit through your word into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. It was last March when Christy Loney emailed me about the possibility of coming up here to do some teaching on the Holy Spirit, knowing that I've been involved with PRMI, Presbyterian Reformed Ministries International, for many years, a ministry that's not just for Presbyterians, but is helping Christians and churches to understand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so when Christy emailed that to me, my initial thought inwardly was, there's no way I'd ever be able to get up there. You know, just some other things that were going on. But I gave the good classic Christian response: I'll pray about it. But since both she and I had some other irons in the fire at the time, she said, "I'll get back to you a little bit later." And so it was in early May she contacted me again with possible dates for coming up. And at that time, my wife Jeanette and I, we realized we possibly had a schedule conflict. So I emailed Christy back. I said, I don't think I can come, but I'll check into maybe one of the other PRMI teachers to be able to come, but I'll pray about it. And then the very next morning, I like to take little prayer walks before breakfast, and I was out on the prayer walk and praying about that. And to my surprise, I sensed an openness, a sense, almost a desire that I would like to come up if I could maybe propose a different date. So I came back to, after that, I said to Jeanette, "You know, I'm beginning to think maybe we are to go up to Haines, Alaska. What do you think?" She said, "I'd love to go to Haines, Alaska." Jeanette had spent years 4 to 12 in Petersburg, Alaska, where her dad was pastor of the Presbyterian Church there. So I emailed Christy back. I proposed an alternative date, which is this weekend, and she checked and said that would work. So here we are, and we have been totally blessed. We want to thank you for your hospitality. It's been a blessing to us. But I realized that my initial no had been turned to a yes by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God will take an initial no in our lives and turn that to a yes, so that allows Him time to work in our lives, but also in the situation. We need to trust His timing. I'm reminded of when Jeanette and I first met. I was a senior at Whitworth College, and she had just finished a 3-year nursing program, had her RN degree, but had come out to Whitworth. And I initially had met her briefly through her brother, who was in my dorm, and I was attracted to her, so I asked her out. But she didn't say, "I'd love to go out with you." She said, "No." And it turned out to be a blessing. I'll get back to that in a moment. But our key verse this morning is that verse that Dana read, Galatians 5:25. "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The book of Galatians, and I think you've been going through this, so this is almost like a review here, but Paul wrote this because he had established the church on the foundation of salvation by grace alone through Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus came, was sent by the Father to rescue us, to bring us forgiveness of our sins. We could not save ourselves, but Jesus could, and He did. That's the gospel of grace that we respond to by faith. But some false teachers had come after Paul had left, and they began sowing this idea that it's not enough to put your trust in Jesus. You also have to do things, you know, follow the Jewish law code and so forth. And Paul writes back to say, no, that's a perversion of the true gospel. Back at the end of Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." It's all about the cross. Everywhere through church history, you see a cult deviate or some deviation in the church. Inevitably, they downplay the significance of the cross of Jesus, that through Christ's sacrifice alone we are saved. In fact, Paul even makes it, his identity is in Christ, and that's where our identity really is. In Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. My life is totally bound up in Jesus. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I mean, our prime identity is that we are in the family of God through the blood of Jesus. That's our identity. But again, cults will always take that away. But there's something else cults and perversions of the true gospel always do. They deny the reality of how God has revealed himself as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And my assumption this morning is that most of us here, I trust all of us, understand that we are saved by grace alone, the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and our faith in Him. But we may not have a full understanding and appreciation of and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit to manifest the life of Christ in and through us. It turns out that Galatians is full, it's just sprinkled with references to the Holy Spirit about how we live out the true gospel. And so what we're going to be looking at this morning is four basic ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian and in the life of God's church. And those four are justification, sanctification, empowerment, and the koinonia, or fellowship. By analogy, I look to, again, my relationship with Jeanette, which is a covenant relationship, just as our relationship with Jesus is through the new covenant in his blood. When Jeanette and I first met, our hearts needed to come together. Obviously, that did happen. You know, we've been married now over 50 years. But our hearts had to come together. And that's like the born again. And then once we got married, we needed to learn how to live sacrificially. After being single individuals, we had to learn how to live with our hearts surrendered to one another. But we also found that in our marriage, we strengthened each other. When I received the call to go into church ministry, that was scary to me. I thought, I can't do that. But I shared with Jeanette, and she had my back, and she encouraged me and prayed for me. When our oldest daughter was ready to go to college, Jeanette had been a stay-at-home mom, but she reactivated her nursing degree to go back to nurse. It was a scary thing, a challenging thing, but I had her back. I gave her strength and encouraged her. But we also didn't go through our marriage alone. We had our family, support of our family. We had the church family. There was a mutual edification. And so this is kind of an analogy of what happens, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. Initially, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us justification, drawing our hearts to Jesus. Ephesians says that we were dead in our trespasses. We could not save ourselves. It's Jesus who's rescued us, but we had to realize he's the rescuer. And in our sin, we don't realize that until the Spirit of God convicts us of that sin. And so we humble ourselves and say, oh God, you're right. I can't be Lord of my life. I can't live my life for me. I surrender to you. Forgive me, Jesus. Take over. It's a wonderful thing when our hearts are united with Jesus. The Scriptures call it being born again. Justification. You know, it turned out, after that initial no that I got from Jeanette, I realized my game plan was really kind of, for lack of a better word, stupid. It was well-meaning. What I had done is I barely had met her, but I wrote a letter to her asking her out, and I kind of did it with a lot of sophisticated and intentionally big words just to kind of be cute. And she gets this letter and thinks, I don't know this clown at all, and here, what's he trying to do? I had a little slip at the bottom, yes or no. It took her 2 days to figure out, do I even want to respond to this guy? Until she finally gave the slip back, no. But I thought there's another chance. Because as I mentioned, I met her through her brother. Her brother was in my dorm. Her brother, right at that time, got engaged to a girl in Jeanette's dorm. And the campus tradition is that when a guy in your dorm gets engaged to someone on campus, then the guys go over and serenade the girl's dorm. And the girls provide a bunch of cookies. So I thought, well, that's coming up next Tuesday. Jeanette will have to be there. It's her brother being engaged. And so during mingle time, I can ask her again. So we go over, we serenade the girls' dorm, we go inside, and I grab a bunch of cookies, which I always do, and then went up to Jeanette, a little bit of soft, kind of, general talk. Then I said, would you like to go out with me this Friday? She said no. It was a second no in a row. And I thought that was it. But you know, God had to humble me because in my heart, there was a lot of pride. And I had made a vow some years before that, if any girl would ever turn me down twice, I'm not about to ask her out again and be made a fool. It was a self-defense. It was a prideful thing. I didn't want to be shamed. So it was a month later, after God had convicted me of that, that the situation changed and I asked her out again. And then she said, I'd love to go out with you. And the rest is history. Justification, The work of the Spirit comes when people humble themselves and say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I need my heart to be linked with Him. And then the Holy Spirit works sanctification. And by the way, there's a verse here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. And you've been through this, but Paul says, After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? We begin with the Spirit. That's justification. But it's a beginning. It's not the end. Sanctification is a second work of the Spirit. Just as once Jeanette and I got married, then it became the challenge, a lifelong challenge of learning to die to self in order to be able to love one another. And it's not easy. But praise God. When you build your marriage on Christ, the Spirit is there. And so the Holy Spirit is at work in us, even now. Pastor Dana read the verses there in Galatians 5 about the famous fruit of the Spirit. You've been looking at that. That's sanctification. That's the work of the Spirit to make us more Christ-like. A lifelong process. But there's also another work of the Spirit. And we see that evidence in chapter 3, verse 5 of Galatians, where Paul writes, he says, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you've heard? It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to do things we could never do on our own. The Spirit of God, that's what Pentecost is about. Jesus said, wait until you receive power from on high. And then you'll be my witnesses from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, even to Haines, Alaska, which is why we're here, worshiping the Lord. The empowerment of the Spirit. And then there's the koinonia, that the Spirit binds us together in the body of Christ. It was such a blessing coming up here, and Christy met us at the airport. But as we begin meeting the rest of you, there's just this connection. That's a koinonia. It's the Spirit of God. Pastor Dana read from Galatians 5, 13 to 16. Now, did you catch the drift there? Because these false teachers had come in and people were drifting away, some of them at least, from relying on the Spirit to live their life in Christ and relying upon legalism and trying to do all the do's and don'ts, that was giving room for their old nature, the flesh, to take root, and they were biting each other, and there was, you know, all this stuff going on, the tension, rather than loving one another. Which is why Paul then says, after verses 13 to 15, he says again in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's hard enough to live with other people because even after we're saved and trusting Christ, the old nature's still at work. It's that way in our families. It's that way in the church family. We need the Holy Spirit to bind our hearts together in love and with forgiveness and forbearance. What we could say is that these four works of the Spirit, and just summing up, justification is drawing our heart to Jesus. Sanctification is transforming our hearts to become like Jesus. Empowerment is enabling us to bear witness to Jesus in a fruitful way. And koinonia is to receive the blessing of being a part of Jesus' body, the family of God. Two of these, justification and sanctification, we call our inward works of the Spirit on our heart. And two of these, the empowerment and the koinonia, are the outward working of the Spirit and how we relate to others as witness and in love. It's not when we say the inward and outward work of the Spirit, it's the same Spirit. We're not talking about different locations, but different activities of the Spirit. So it is like with Jeanette and I, there's the inward work of the Spirit in our marriage. In times where I may come home and say, wow, I have a difficult decision to make, or there's this some things going on at church, and I'm not sure what to do here, she would encourage me. She speaks into my heart, and she would pray for me. That's an inner work of our covenant relationship. But then there's other ways that we help each other. For example, I might come home, and Jeanette's standing in the living room, And I see that look on her face, and she's saying, I think I'd like the couch moved from this wall to this wall. Some of you guys know where we're at on this, you know. But she says, I can't do it. It's too heavy. It wouldn't do me much good or her much good if I just try to encourage her and say, well, you know, really put your back into it and use your legs, and I think you can do it. No, that what she's needing from me is not words of encouragement, but my body, my help to empower her to be able to do that. Think about Jesus. As we saw last night, as we talked about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Jesus from conception was filled with the Spirit of God. He always had the Holy Spirit within. He always reflected the character of God His Father. He was sinless. But it was interesting that the Scriptures record no power ministry of Jesus, no miracles, none of all the things that He did, the authoritative teaching, not until after He was baptized at the Jordan River and the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And after that, we see Him move in power. Now, it's the same Holy Spirit who's already within Him, but it's a different activity of the Holy Spirit now, empowering Jesus. And this is an amazing reality that the same Spirit who is within Jesus, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity who is within Jesus and then empowered Him to do His works, is the same Spirit who now dwells in our hearts when we put our faith in Christ. And He wants to empower us to do His work. That's why Jesus, right before His crucifixion in John 14, He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And that's why we come back to this key verse here in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, in these four areas, justification. My guess is probably most of us here have taken that step with the Holy Spirit. We've surrendered to Jesus. We've asked Him to forgive us and to give us His new life. We're born again. But you know, if you have not taken that step and the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, what a better time there could be than today to say yes to Jesus. You can talk with your pastors. You can talk with your elders. They'd be glad to just walk you through that wonderful time of becoming born again and starting a journey with Jesus. But most of us have made that decision. And that sanctifying work of the Spirit is an ongoing work to keep in step with the Spirit. Because He continues to transform our heart. And then the empowerment of the Spirit is being willing to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. You're calling me to witness to my neighbor. You're calling me this or that. I can't do that. Well, He wants us to pray that so that we can say, Spirit of God, would You empower me to be able to bear witness to Jesus in this situation in my life? And koinonia is to keep in step with the Spirit in the body of Christ. It's inevitable that we have tensions and misunderstandings come up in any congregation. Those are opportunities to seek the grace of God, to forgive, to forbear, to admonish, to do that which keeps the unity of the Spirit. We don't make the unity of the Spirit, it's a gift from God. But we can preserve and live that unity by keeping in step with the Spirit. As I was worshiping this morning and just sensing what God is doing, and then seeing again how these verses 13 through 15 of Galatians 5 were read by Pastor Dana, I think the step we could take now is kind of a brief little exercise that surrenders to the Spirit of God to enable us to recognize more of the life of Christ that He brings in our life. It talks here about in Galatians 5 of not being under the control of the sinful nature. There's not a one of us who doesn't have to battle that every day, which is why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Die to self. Just yesterday afternoon, I needed to apologize to Jeanette. There was something not right in my heart. I said, would you forgive me? It's a part of our daily walk with Jesus. And right now, this morning, as we come in today, there's often that kind of conflict. On one hand, we're just full of the joy of the Lord and looking forward to worship, but we also carry the burdens of living in this world. And some of the sins that we deal with, like in our confession of faith earlier, are sins that we have maybe done, and we've confessed that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to bring assurance, because we still carry a lot of shame from things that we have done in our life, areas where we have failed and fallen short. And you know, Jesus took that shame to the cross. Hebrews 12:2, for the shame set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, the joy set before him. He despised the shame. He took that shame on the cross so that we might be freed. But we also struggle not just with some of our own issues, but because we've all been sinned against. We carry the burdens of the wounds of a broken world. At times we've been those who have wounded others. At times we have been the recipients of the wounds of people who've spoken words or done harsh things or betrayed us. And we carry those wounds, and the danger is they become kind of a focal point for bitterness and anger and shame. And the Holy Spirit wants to free us from that. Again, let us remember verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because verse 13, you were called to be free. For freedom, Christ called us to be set free. So I'm going to ask you just a simple little exercise. You don't have to do this, but it might help. Just to kind of put your hands before you like this. And Holy Spirit, we're going to ask you to come and search our hearts and minds because you love us. The Holy Spirit never condemns, but he will convict to draw us to Jesus and free us. And as our hands are out like this, could you just put into your hands any of the burdens you've brought in here this morning? It might be burdens that you carry about your own areas of fallen nature. You know, just some of the areas where you've failed the Lord or failed others, and you're still burdened by that. Just put that in your hands. And also, there may be those burdens where others have hurt you. They've spoken into your heart knives that still stick there and wound. Or maybe they have rejected you. Maybe they have not been there when you thought they should be. Whatever it is, put that into your hands. And then I want you just to turn your hands over and dump that all at the cross of Jesus. Because he died, not only for the sins we've committed, but to free us from the sins that have been committed against us. And Holy Spirit, we ask you now, as we just dump these at the foot of the cross, that you would come in your presence. We prayed earlier, we sang earlier, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence. Would you come now? Would you reveal in our hearts the love of the Father displayed in the blood of Christ shed on the cross, to take these sins, to take this shame, to take this guilt, and to take it upon himself so that we can be set free. So Holy Spirit, come. And we also pray for that grace of forgiveness where we've been sinned against. Lord, we ask that you would free us from bitterness, The old nature of being angry and bitter about what has been done to us. Lord, we know it's a process, but we just right now say, yes, Holy Spirit, you are powerful enough to give me the grace to forgive and be set free. And Holy Spirit, would you put the balm of Jesus' blood on any wounds in the hearts of those that are here? Touch them with healing and bring forth that supernatural peace that passes understanding in Christ Jesus. And may there be the residue of the joy of the Lord as a result. So Holy Spirit, come. We thank you. Thank you that you're touching our lives because you are faithful to your word. And now I just ask you, just turn your palms back up. And now, instead of putting your burdens there, you're receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, come and just touch hearts. A fresh sense of the freedom. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. And this is the work of the Spirit within. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. Lord, we just worship you this morning. You're not a God just in our minds. You're a God who is real. You're here. Because that's your promise, Jesus. You said, I will be with you always. And you're here by your Spirit right now. And we pray that we would continue to walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. So not only may we know that constant presence of your being with us, but we may be your light to others and draw them into this broken world. For even this morning, there are those here who are still struggling. Do I surrender or not? But Lord, you will not let them go. Continue to draw them, Holy Spirit, to that wonderful place of surrender and submission where life begins with Jesus. And may you continue to bring forth that life in each of us as we walk with you, Jesus, as we desire now and surrender to you to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit by your grace and all glory and honor to you. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.